Support for WAER Original Podcasts comes from California Closets of Syracuse, located in DeWitt. California Closets can help you get your entire home organized with custom-designed storage solutions for the home office, kitchen pantry, closets, and more. Online at californiaclosets.com.
Once upon a time when you wanted to know whether a movie was worth your money, you pulled out a newspaper and flipped to the back to the entertainment section to read the reviewers' opinions. Movie and television reviews were the purview of those elite critics with names like Pauline Kael, or Gene Siskel, or Rex Reed. Of course, professional critics are still out there, but now anyone with an opinion and a keyboard can put their two cents into the public sphere via websites, Twitter, or YouTube. This rise of everyday citizen critics, to borrow a phrase from my friend Rosa Eberle, has dramatically expanded the conversation about film, television, and all forms of pop culture. I'm your host, Kendall Phillips, and on this episode of Pop Life, we'll be continuing our conversation about the changing nature of entertainment journalism. In our previous segment, we chatted with one of those professional journalists, Brandon Katz. And on this episode, we'll look at the other side of the coin with my friend, Khalil Johnson. By day, Khalil is a mild-mannered management consultant, but at night, by the glow of his laptop, he is a reviewer for Punch Drunk Critics, DC's top blog for movie news and reviews. Khalil, welcome to Pop Life.
Glad to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me, Kendall.
No, so happy to have you, because I really do think you are a great example of the kind of person who is involved in a kind of everyday, a real profession, doing a real job, and yet still has that passion, not only for pop culture, but a desire to kind of share their perspective. So I'm wondering if you could say, what was it that inspired you to really start writing reviews and opinion pieces about pop culture?
That's a very good question. I'd say one thing that kind of just started my journey, if you will, I had made a habit of myself just as a working father, you know, married with children, who was a consumer of pop culture, that I still wanted to, you know, go to the movies and enjoy things. However, I found myself to be a little more economical, winning contests throughout the DC metro area, you know, going on Gofobo, clicking on links here and there, and then going to press screenings. And in the aftermath, you know, you get interviewed by the marketing reps, or you sit and listen in on some of the local critics, you know, discuss how they felt about it, which made me then say, you know what, I can do this. Why not give this a shot? So at first I created my own blog on Google, shared amongst my friends and family, you know, on social media via email. But then I just, you know, decided to roll up my sleeves, see, hey, what's out there? You know, what websites, you know, are looking for writers? And so I did, you know, a brief journey throughout the internet, writing for different blogs. The one I first spent the most time with was a website that's now defunct, unfortunately, called Nerd Bastards, which basically just was like a bunch of young people. Hey, what do you think about this movie, this TV show? You know, and it was everything from what is the news of the day, what news just broke, let's share it with our fans, to, you know, recapping a television episode or reviewing a movie. And as I started to somewhat build my brand on that, as I saw the writing on the wall that the website was going through growing pains, if you will, as well as being owned by, you know, different conglomerates. To try to stick with I then, you know, wrote for a few other websites here and there, but ultimately I decided to kind of just do my own thing, not necessarily be tied to a big website, if you will. You know, I've done the Hidden Remotes, the Screen Rants, the Heroic Hollywoods, but I found the most fun and the most interesting time writing for Punch Drunk Critics, which happened to be a website that I consumed to the point where I befriended the owner of the website, a gentleman down here named Travis Hobson, who is a member of the DC Film Critics Society. He actually just hosted his own Oscar party yesterday in Arlington, Virginia. So he takes his work very seriously. I just said, hey, I'd like to write for you guys if you don't mind, you know. And he said, I always am interested in other writers, you know, just please take it seriously. This is my craft. This is my brand, as well as, you know, it could be yours. So, you know, give your all and it'll be great. And slowly but surely, I've been just associated with this blog for a few years with no signs of stopping, in which I just get to either watch various television shows and provide reviews and commentary on them, or various movies and provide reviews and commentary on them. I get to invited to a lot of press screenings. In the COVID world, I've had screeners for various films emailed to me by movie studios. So also understanding the marketing aspect of how films get made, speaking with marketing reps, you know, just to get information from them, get you know, press stills, images, and then just offering my two cents on how I feel a piece of art worked for me. And it's been a blast. It's something I value a whole bunch. Like you said, you know, my 9-to-5 is, you know, spreadsheets, IT, data, name it. But, you know, and that is something I have passion and interest in, of course, and it pays the bills. But I ultimately have a deep love of pop culture and just consuming content. So why not express yourself and how you feel about it by writing? And I find it to be a lot of fun, and it's very therapeutic.
Yeah, it's great. Do you remember what the first film or television show you wrote something and said, okay, this I'm willing to share? Because I'm sure you were thinking about it and watching things and thinking, boy, I want to write a one day I'm going to write a review. Do you remember what that first one you said, okay, I've got an angle, I've got an idea that's strong enough that I'm going to put this out and let other people read it?
That's a very good question. I honestly can't remember the first. I think it might have been myself solo doing weekly recaps of The Walking Dead for my own personal blog. This is probably 2015, 2016, in which I just started, you know, offering my two cents. The Walking Dead itself is a show that I have a strong interest in. So I was familiar with the content, not only from the TV show, but also from the comic book. So I just started doing it on my own and just doing weekly recaps on that. But since then, I have explored all sorts of different, you know, different websites to review various content.
So I'm curious about that. You know, you talked about sort of touring around, and there certainly are an awful lot, everything from just like Letterboxd, where you can just go on and create your own account, to clearly things like Twitter or YouTube channels, or any of a variety of venues where people can submit reviews and then maybe get picked up. What was it about Punch Drunk Critics that made you feel like, okay, this is a home that I can sort of settle into and do my writing?
I think Punch Drunk for me worked because unlike a lot of other ones that are, and I don't want to necessarily talk down to any of my past you know, places I worked at, but there's almost a mandate. Hey, you got to do these numbers, this. Mm-hmm. And it felt like a job as opposed to fun. Punch Drunk, you know, the editor, Travis Hobson, well, literally, you know, on the, you know, our various Slack channels or emails or whatever, just say, hey, who wants to do this movie? Who wants to do this TV show? As opposed to mandating, hey, you, Khalil, you have to do a review on this. I need it done by this day. You know, I have deadlines and mandates in my 9-to-5. I like the easygoingness of his leadership style that just makes it a lot more enjoyable and not something that feels like work. You know, it feels like fun instead.
Yeah, so I like that. Feels like fun. Is there other, and I guess I'm partly thinking of people who may be listening to our conversation who are thinking, gosh, I would like to do that. Like, I have opinions. I'd like to write them. Other, like, advice in terms of selecting places to submit work or to try to build a relationship? I mean, are there things we should look for and maybe warning signs to say, okay, this is probably not a good place to be involved with?
I would say because I now do stuff within the Washington, D.C. area, I'm friends with critics for other local blogs. And one person I'll shout out is a person named Jeffrey Lyles, who is a D.C. film critic who runs his own blog called Lyles Movie Files. And I had first asked him for advice, and he just said, hey, don't worry about getting in with XYZ blog or XYZ, you know, do for yourself, do what makes you comfortable. And help build your brand up that way. He had communicated to me, he started out by just doing responses on social media while watching a television show, which then in turn helped him, you know, build an audience. Build yourself up first and then try to pick and choose where you want to plant your feet. And, you know, the other advice I would give is, you know, definitely be somewhere comfortable because, you know, some of the places with that, you know, will pay you words per minute or things like that, you know, they're primarily advertiser driven and, you know, you have to hit various quotas. If that works for you, great. I don't think it necessarily worked for me. I think just somewhere where I could just relax, stretch, you know, crack my knuckles and start typing away. And put in my thoughts as I see fit, as opposed to a deadline. You know, that works for me best. So if that works for you, definitely try to find something, you know, of that nature, or create something yourself. You know, creating a website is not as difficult as it was when I was in school. So put in the time and effort and energy that you feel you can do, and go to a place that will respect that.
So I guess I'm wondering, and this is probably a question I suspect other people have listening to our conversation, is your aspiration to become a professional film reviewer or pop culture critic, is this a stepping stone towards a time when you can leave behind your 9-to-5 job and do this full time? Or do you really see this as a sideline activity, not in a bad way, but just in a, this is something I do in my own time for my enjoyment, for my own creative, critical sort of expression? I mean, what's the end goal here, I guess?
That's a very good question. And I honestly haven't gotten there 100% yet. Ultimately, I would like to branch out and do my own local blog. I feel time is always a constraint on that, just because currently, my 9-to-5 is one that can require anywhere between 8 and 12 hours a day. So to be the guy who does late breaking news in the middle of the day, oh, the newest Marvel trailer dropped. Oh, let me stop my conference call and go post something. You know, so certain things currently prevent me from making this what I would consider a full time. One is finances. I do get a decent amount of money in what I normally do. And I also have a fear that if this becomes the full-time job, the passion may go away. So I'm still, you know, in that weird little middle road where I really enjoy doing this on my own time. Ultimately I might have more than enough time to kind of pursue it full-time. I just don't know if I'm necessarily there at this exact moment.
No, that's fair. So one of the themes in this series, as you know, we've had a couple of these segments sort of thinking about this world of, you know, talking about pop culture, which obviously is what something we do here. But how do you think of yourself as different from, you know, a Rex Reed, A.O. Scott, Brandon Katz, those folks who are employed by a venue to write things? Do you see your role as different than theirs, or do you think all of you are doing kind of the same thing?
I think we're doing the same thing. But once again, it comes to a matter of, you know, there's various degrees of what I would consider how serious you take it. You know, if this is your full time, your 9-to-5, you know, your bread and butter, You know, your amount of dedication, struggle, strife, whatever you want to call it, is going to be more exasperated than somebody who is doing this for the love of it, if you will. So I think we're all in the same, because we think about pop culture, we write about it, we live it and we breathe it. You know, but you know, some of the folks who are just doing this full time concretely, you know, they may have more of a, I'm not even going to say a dedication, but just a hyper focus on it. As for, you know, somebody like me, you know, this is fun, and I'd rather do fun than, you know, just pulling my brain out, you know, pulling my hair out just to, you know, make things as perfect as possible. I, you know, ultimately at the end of the day, this is just, something that I have passion, excitement, and intrigue, and ultimately fun doing. So,
yeah, the passion's an interesting question, because, you know, one of the things that seems to be, I guess, increasingly observed about pop culture discussions, you know, going on in social media and other places, is that passion, and some folks sort of feeling like maybe the passion is getting too much. You know, there's been talk of like kind of toxic fan culture and this kind of like incredibly hyperbolic divided world where if you like that film, I hate you, you're horrible. And if you don't like that film, I hate you because you're horrible. And I'm wondering, in your time kind of operating in this broader fan review critical sphere, are you seeing that kind of toxic passion more prominent these days?
I'm seeing it, but not in my writing per se. I'll just see it simply, you know, scrolling through Twitter or, you know, engaging in discussions. I still do Facebook groups where I'll talk with fans of different things. So I see that, you know, more on the smaller level. But one example where it really strung out to me, toxic fan culture, when I wrote for Nerd Bastards, I did an editorial on Marvel/Netflix's Iron Fist, which I think I was very fair, in which I said what was good about it, what was bad, and what was, you know, for lack of a better term, culturally revolting about the show. And this was one of the few articles where, you know, when I saw it posted on social media, 300 people called me every word under the sun, you know, about how woke I was, how, you know, I can't appreciate just a good TV show, you know. So, you know, moments, especially when it comes to, you know, a tone of culture or a tone of race, will always bring out those type of people. But for the most part in my writing, I have not seen a significant amount of toxic fandom. I don't know if it's just because Punch Drunk, we're allowed to use our own voice, but our voices aren't divisive for the most part. You know, we may chime in a review or an editorial, allowing the reader to see where our politics lean, just because Travis Hobson gives us that freedom to do so. But even in doing so, the commentary that comes from fans, you know, social media, whatever, is not as vitriolic as would be expected on, you know, if you see, you know, any other type of website, you'll look in the comments and don't ever look in the comments. You know,
kind of. It's an interesting question, because, you know, I do wonder sometimes if part of this rise of that kind of vitriol, and you know, I've certainly seen it in lots of examples where someone points out some aspect of something, you know, seemingly as innocent or innocuous as a Marvel film or a new science fiction show. And yet that level of kind of anger and rage. And I wonder if part of it is because there are so many people giving opinions, I wonder if some critics don't feel like the only way to get attention is to lay out these really bold, dramatic proclamations about, you know, this is the most horrible, vile thing ever, or this is the greatest thing ever. Do you find, is there any pressure to kind of get into that more dramatic proclamation kind of writing?
I'm not going to say there's pressure to get into that type of writing. On one website I wrote for, It was actually the opposite. I was advised not to comment on I think it was Batman versus Superman, because I wasn't a fan of it. And the writer said, well, DC likes our stuff, so you can't talk about it, you know? And so that kind of thing of self-censorship, you know, can also go in the opposite direction where you want to share too much just to get a reaction out of people. But personally for me, I haven't seen too much of that. I've seen it in the exact opposite as a result. But you know, that's part of the course, I guess.
Yeah. We're all trying to either get attention or avoid bad attention, I suppose, at the end of the day. So I'm curious for you. And again, you know, I know you, Khalil, you're a wonderful person. You're very intelligent. You have great critical insights, but as a person taking that ability and writing for others, what do you hope to accomplish? Like, what is your goal in writing these reviews for Punch Drunk Critic? What are you hoping that readers will take away from your writing?
For me, I hope readers just, you know, you don't have to necessarily like what I like, but I'll at least offer you an honest take of how I feel about something. And if you're of the same type of mind frame, you know, this is a recommendation for me, or this is me telling you, hey, you might not like this, but it is, you know, ultimately only my opinion. But a prime example, one thing I always see on social media, especially among people that I personally know, some people will say, I'm not watching this movie until I see Khalil's review of it. And so that to me is always a cool, you know, medal in the chest, feather in the cap, whatever you want to call it, to where, hey, somebody has valued my opinion enough that my thoughts on something may be the deciding factor as to whether or not they will give it a try. So that's very self-gratifying as a result. But ultimately, I just want to watch something, consume it, and let folks, you know, let the world know whether or not I think it's good or not. And if they agree with me, you know, they can give it a shot too. I always also want to hear people's take on what I said. Do you agree with me? I always put out for Punch Drunk my top 10 TV shows or my favorite movies. And ultimately at the end of it, I say, hey, what do you think? Do you disagree? Do you agree? You know, let me know. So ultimately I want to, you know, offer my opinion, but also, you know, keep a conversation going.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was thinking about my own sort of reading of reviews, especially sort of, you know, popular reviews. And I will say I'm one of those people that tends to read a review after I've seen something. Like, and usually it's I either liked it or didn't like it. And then I want to go and hear someone else explain to me like either what I missed or validate my experience. And I'm wondering for you as not just a writer of reviews, but probably a consumer, who are you reading and what are you looking for in reviews that you're reading?
Unfortunately, I also, like you, if I haven't seen it, I want to see it first before I see what other people say. I also am a consumer of video critics as well, just because, you know, sometimes watching is easy, you know, and, you know, you can get the raw emotions out of people as well. So sometimes I will watch something and then get people's take. But I'm a sucker for the Rotten Tomato score, just like everybody else. to where, oh, I don't know if I'm going to see this. This has got a 30% on Rotten Tomato. Well, you know what? I'll be the judge. Let me go see it anyway. I find myself watching various people that I'm fans of on YouTube. A lot of the DC film critics that I know personally, I will read their content. A lot of people I knew at Punch Drunk have, you know, gone and done other things. You know, one of my colleagues is a writer for Vulture now. I make sure to read her content because she's a very good writer. Her name is Rocky Haddadi. Jeffrey Lyle is another gentleman who's a DC film critic. I will religiously read his comments, his takes on different things. Another person named Julian Lytle, who not only was a writer for Punch Drunk, but a comic book writer and considered a DC Comics encyclopedia. I make sure to read anything he comments on as well. So mainly people I know and trust, but I still will go with, you know, the big dogs as well. You know, if comicbook.com has a take on something, you know, I'll take a look and see what they're talking about, especially if it's, you know, within the superhero world. So for the most part, I just kind of just want to consume what, you know, whatever's available according to something that I might have an interest in.
So I guess I'm wondering in terms of, you know, you've been involved in what I've called citizen critics, but sort of, you know, everyday people sort of taking up the opportunity and writing and becoming kind of involved in this critical discourse for about 7 years, I guess, or so now. Where do you think the future goes with this? Are we going to see more and more of these, you know, kind of fan run or kind of everyday person run critical spaces? Are we going to see newspapers and the kind of traditional media continue to kind of recede? I mean, where do you think the future of critical discourse around entertainment is going?
I think it's going to be a weird mesh, if you will. One website that I did write for prior to Punch Drunk, out of the blue one day said, we're no longer doing writing, we're strictly doing video. And since you're not a vlogger, we don't need your services anymore. So that kind of struck me. I was just like, oh, so the future is in video. Oh, that stinks for us who like to write. Now I do see video as a main part of it, if you will. But unfortunately also some smaller, you know, citizen journalists, fan-driven sites may not have the necessary clicks, if you will. You know, that's the unfortunate thing that happened to the demise of Nerd Bastards is it worked until it didn't. And you know, unfortunately, they, you know, oh, we're not going to do news information anymore. We're just doing editorials. Oh, that's not working either. Okay, we're going under. So the change in how people consume content will ultimately be the deciding factor. Newspapers will always have their place, I think, even as they get overshadowed by the more sensationalist way to deliver, you know, critical reviews. You know, I will still read Roger Ebert, you know, .com, you know, just to see what comes from that site, because most of their critics are very spot on and very good. So I think there's always going to be an interesting mesh of traditional slash print slash web media along with new web media, you know, which is social media and click driven, but can still generate interesting content. A prime example, I like to read, but like I said, one of my favorite critics are members of a website called doubletoasted.com, and they strictly do video. But they have such engaging personalities that they make that part of their brand, which allows them to be successful. So there's always going to be a delicate balance between whatever the newest, coolest thing is and the OG way of consuming information. I personally still like to do the OG way. I'm not a vlogger of any sort. You know, even when because Punch Drunk has their own podcast as well, which, you know, is posted on YouTube. I've done it a few times, but, you know, my comfort is behind the keyboard. So ultimately, I think that's where I will be. I just hope I don't get, I don't become a dinosaur as a result.
Well, speaking of the coolest things, as regular listeners of our little podcast know, we like to not only pick the brain of our experts about their experience and about their areas of expertise, but we also like to dig into what they're digging, their own pop culture interests. And we begin that with a little segment, Khalil, we call the Fast Five. So in the Fast Five, I'm going to ask you five questions with either or answer. Just follow your heart and pick the first thing that comes to your mind. And this Fast Five edition is based on our mutual love of superheroes. So, Khalil, question number one, who is more deserving of their own standalone big-budget film? Would it be the X-Men character Dazzler, who turns sound into disco lights, or Batmite, the magical imp who tries to act like Batman? Who deserves their own film?
Dazzler, only because I want to see Dazzler on the big screen. I think she's always been cool. Sound to Light, literally the only person who makes a laser pointer that we all did when we were kids and turns it into a weapon. I think with the right budget, that would be awesome. However, I could see James Gunn killing a Batmite movie with his sense of comedic style. But I think I'll go with Dazzler. I want to see Dazzler.
Maybe the next season of Peacemaker will include Batmite, but we're going to go with Dazzler. So question number two for you, Khalil. Who would be more fun at a party, Howard the Duck or Harley Quinn?
Ooh, Harley Quinn. She's just unpredictable, which would make a party very unique and interesting.
I think she's more predictable. I think Howard the Duck would make a better Manhattan, but we'll go to question number three for you, Khalil. Who would you rather be in the clutches of? Would you rather be in the clutches of Dr. Doom or in the clutches of Joker?
Dr. Doom. He's just, he's a ruler. He has a sense of governance and, you know, he might be evil, but at least he's responsible. Joker is literally a wild card. So
I think that's a very wise. Plus, I think Dr. Doom would probably have sheets with a higher thread count. I'm just going to say there's a certain class there. So question number four, relatedly, if you were in the clutches of that supervillain, who would you most want to have coming to your rescue? Would it be the mighty Thor or Batman?
Thor. I know everybody says that with enough prep time, Batman could do anything, but Thor is a god. He ultimately would be able to save me with little effort.
That's a very good answer. It's wrong. However, the answer is always Batman. So finally with you, Khalil, question number five. Who would you rather sit down and have a cup of coffee with? Would it be Groot or Swamp Thing?
I would say Groot, only because our conversations would be very cyclical, you know. I'm not sure what he'd be saying, but I would just offer my two cents and listen to him say, I am Groot 100 times.
And you would definitely know who he was. Well, Khalil, thank you so much for joining us. An amazing and insightful perspective on one of the folks, so the many folks out there writing pop culture reviews. We really appreciate you being part of Pop Life. And I'll just say to our listeners, I'll remind you that whether the next trend in pop culture is punch drunk or just plain drunk, odds are we'll be talking about it here on Pop Life. I will see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Pop Life, a production of WAER, Syracuse Public Media. You can find archived episodes at waer.org. And don't forget to subscribe in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen for automatic delivery of new episodes.